America, okay. One country. Amazing.
I think today some of your questions, Johnny, will be answered. Or I hope will be sort of answered. Because you keep asking, so why am I doing this? Why don't I just wait until it's going to happen slowly? Why don't I just wait? What's in it for me? And I think, you do keep saying that, don't you?
You're not within it for me. Why didn't it happen earlier? I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm
going to suffer. No. You didn't like his whitewashing the American
jury? No, I like that they saved, but you know, first of all, did say English jury, and second of all...
Well, they don't come out so clean today. I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse.
Worse.
Okay.
But I will say, my mother is in England.
Yeah.
And she went to York.
She what?
Went to York. Terrible massacre in York.
Yeah.
The Jews.
1100, right?
Right? And she went on a regular tour of York. Not a Jewish tour. And the guy said, the audio recording said this is the most horrific thing that the English have ever done to any people. They were very honest about it, and they said it was no truth in the fact anyway, because they went to steal the land afterwards. They went back to the town hall to try and claim things. It was just they owed the Jews money, and they went to burn all the records straight after that.
So they have to pay. Let me ask you this question. So I saw in the newspaper, I saw on a link that Prince Charles went to speak to the Jewish community, whatever, in England.
Okay.
And they were like bowled over because he said how his, like, some queen had her royal doctor, Jewish doctor, put to death. But she was really good because she tried to, like, let his family keep the money afterwards. They're all bowled over by how close, you know, how nice and empathetic, right, Prince Charles is. And he might be a good guy, but, like, I'm thinking to myself, that's good. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I don't know. I was on a bus this week in Amsterdam, like a mandatory tour as part of this conference. And they went past, like, there's a big Jewish museum in Amsterdam, a preserved Jewish Portuguese synagogue. It's fantastic, beautiful building. And the lady on the tour guide, she's like, this is the synagogue. She's like, there were 10% before the war, over 10% of Amsterdam citizens were Jewish. And there were many synagogues. And she said, but, you know, during the war, this building over here was where they rounded up all the Jews to send them to the concentration camps.
That's what she said.
Yeah. And I'm like,
weren't the Dutch not? The Dutch were.
The Dutch were good, but the Nazis were bad.
Right.
So then she said, like, and then she's like, you know, and then you know that many Dutch Jews were killed during the Holocaust. And, like, on the bus, like, this is like this world conference, there's like these Japanese and these, like, people. And like, I'm like sitting there, only there with a kippah.
Yeah.
And they're like, all stare at me, like, as if, like, I don't know what I was supposed to do. It's like very, very weird. Like, and there is Exhibit A, Jew.
Still here.
And
still here.
And it's amazing, outside of the Anne Frank House.
Yeah.
The Anne Frank House.
That's like a big thing. You can't get
it. The Anne Frank House is the hardest ticket in Amsterdam. I went outside just like in the middle of the afternoon. There was a line of 150 people outside the door waiting to get in.
I'm not happy with what they did with the Anne Frank House recently, though. I went there recently and I went there years back. When they turned it into a museum relative to what it was. Like, it used to be just a house and you used to be able to walk up, and, like, they didn't have any of the walls covered, and that was the thing. And now, like, they tried to recreate it and cover it with plastic and then cut a walkway into the building next door, which they turned into a museum.
Yeah,
a
cafe shop.
It just takes away from the authenticity.
Yes. But still, it's like...
The tourists need their coffee. Okay.
By the way, one last thing. The guy, I first got on the this goes back to what we're saying.
Yeah.
The first guy on the train to Amsterdam, in the airport, and there's some Dutch guy. He looks at me and goes, you're Jewish. So I said, yeah. So he said, where are you from? Israel. Israel. Israel is a nice place. And he said, fighting is bad. And he said, is it worth it for the Jews? So he asked me. So I'm like, yeah. And so I said, okay. And he, like, walked away. He was like this teenage punk. He was like thinking about it. Like
he said, "Is it worth it for the Jews?"
He said, "Is it worth it for the Jews?" Like you know. Like,
why are we fighting?
Yeah.
And you said, "Yeah," and you didn't explain.
No, I don't know. His English wasn't very good, and like that's I said, so yeah, and he thought about it, and he had to get off the train.
Interesting.
So that's like, I mean,
okay, like, let's go.
Yeah.
This geula, this redemption that we hope for so much. La'at la'at. That's a thesis. It's slow. It's a deliberate process, step by step. So we're going to understand what the Chassam Sofer said. I got to go through these Chassam Sofers inside. Because he quotes them a lot. If you notice, he quoted him a lot of times before, and he's quoting him again. And he says the following: Chassam Sofer implied from the lens of the Rambam, "Shehitkabtzut Yisrael tchila yachtav le'eretz Yisrael kodem b'yad Mashiach." First, there's going to be kibbutz galuyot before Mashiach will come. "V'af b'liv binyan beit hamikdash ayin sham." Right, and everybody said at the time, "Come on, no way! How can you have geula without the binyan beit hamikdash?" But of course, now we all have the benefit of hindsight and are looking backwards, and of course, we know that there is kibbutz galuyot without binyan beit hamikdash. Okay. So Chassam Sofer said it was going to happen before it happened, and nobody believed him. There's a book called Shvilei Emuna that I never heard of, to this grandson of the Rush. Shekatab b'shem ha-midrash, who said the same thing in the Midrash, Shekodem ha-geula, before the redemption, Yidnadvu harbe mi-Yisrael adur be-eretz Yisrael u-yidid yashev sham yabak in other arts. People are going to give a lot of money in order to settle land. And when a lot of people live there, and they will daven to dwell, to pray in Har Bayit, then Yishmah Borei, Barach Mikarev Ketzeg Ula. First, the Jews are going to get a lot of money, right? Donate a lot of money towards the rebuilding of the land. Then the Jews are going to live there. What?
Which Ariel Chatley? Jesus.
Yeah, he would like that. You know, but it is interesting. Like I think I mentioned that. You should read this book called The Prime Ministers by Yehuda Avner. So in the beginning of the state, like the prime ministers would go out and raise money for Israel. Nowadays you would not have, like they don't do that anymore. They don't need to. You know, like the tables.
They still do that. No?
Prime ministers don't raise money. God, do they?
I'm sure they do. They just do it with presidents.
Yes.
I mean, I know that, like, the whole...
In economy, right.
No, like, Netanyahu, like, I know before, certainly before he became prime minister, and he was, like, he's a big fundraiser.
For who?
For Israel, for the State of Israel.
Now it's here in Kayemet, they raise money. Maybe for the Fire Fund Federation, but it's not... Like, one gets a sense, like, you read the book, and he's, like, Gvirim had his meeting with, like, you know... with Levi Eshkol, and they left a check at the door, the prime minister's resident. I don't know how they left the check too, but, you know, State of Israel, like $10,000, you know what I'm saying?
And of course, State of Israel is like a much smaller entity.
Much smaller.
They needed the money badly. But there were so much fewer people. There were just, the numbers were so much smaller.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really did happen. But it's funny, you have to read that, like, they leave like, in the book, he quotes some of the things that people wrote.
Priest state also, because we used to send lots of money and like, a lot right. of that siphoned off along the way, and maybe like 20% of the money actually made it to Israel.
I think so.
Yeah.
People wrote like in the book, like, "Dear Prime Minister, like, I've got some ideas about how you should build your state. Call me." You know what I'm saying? Like, "I left a check with your man." like the most ridiculous things in the world. Like, but anyway, mind talks. Okay.
How do you think that the whole Israeli culture of protexia happened? In the 1950s and 60s, people would show up with a sack of money and say, "Here's my money, now do what I say."
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
What do you mean, do what I say?
Build me a factory in this country. Build me a factory in Dimona. And there was a factory in Dimona.
Yeah.
Pass it in the Knesset. The whole culture in Israel of like, "I know you, you know me, take some money."
One does get a sense that, I think there definitely was protection. But one does get a sense that, especially at the beginning of the state, the labor rights, that whole labor party was a bunch of families, a very small number of families who all knew each other, and they all protected their turf in some way. Like, that's all done now. But you hear, like, you know what I'm saying? Tzipi Livni came from a family, from a Likud family, and the rabbis, and the, you know what I'm saying? It was a very small group of Ashkenazi
elite.
Mm-hmm.
But people came, like, with money, mm-hmm. and they would say, here's 50 million, whatever the equivalent is, build me a factory.
I believe that.
And that's why today...
You think it doesn't happen today? Now it's just in campaign contributions. In America, that's what happens all the time.
It happens still in Israel, I'm saying. I think it still happens. And then all of a sudden people are surprised when someone's like corrupt, quote unquote, because they took money. But that's just how it always has been.
The line of corruption and...
I mean, some of the things that people get annoyed about are like ridiculous. Like they paid for Netanyahu to like sleep in the hotel for like 5 nights. Or
right, the line between corruption and influence peddling... It's a very fine line. It's a very, very fine line. Not such a simple thing. Anyway, they were going to give money to build up the land of Israel. So this happened. This really happened. But nowadays, if you would like... Of course they raise money. They raise money for Abu Dalaman Achayal. They raise money for this. They raise money for that. But like I said to people, they don't realize the power that a country has. Even though taxes here are way out of whack and they're way out of control. But it's a huge amount of money. Just a tremendous amount of money that's collected... That once you're done with your municipal stuff, there are organizations and bureaucracies that, you know, I was in the Jewish agency the other day. Have you ever been in the Jewish agency? In their campus? I had a meeting in the Jewish agency. I was at a seminar.
In,
yeah. Unbelievable. It's huge. I mean, like, this huge multi-building campus. And this whole thing is dedicated to...
George Brown.
No, spreading Judaism throughout the world. And it's all paid for by taxpayers. You know, like it or not like it. You know what I'm saying? I really think, yes, money comes in. But I'm not sure, like, I think we're at a tipping point where more money's going out than coming in. Vis-a-vis, without a doubt. Private money versus public money. And, you know, like you see the Jewish agency used to be all about people sending money to Israel. And Sharansky came in and he turned it around and he said, one second. It's very nice if you want to send us money, we're happy to take your money, but what's going to happen if there's no Jews left in the diaspora to send, you know, like, really? If they lose Jewish identity? He turned the whole agency around. The whole agency is now geared towards, you know, shoring up Jewish identity around the world.
Really?
Yeah. Big time.
It's not like planting trees in the Negev?
They still do that. But how many trees can, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why it bothered me. It bothered me when the fire thing came out, and they're like, oh, everybody wants to give them, like, a fire truck. And it bothered me. Because the issue why we didn't have enough fire trucks had nothing to do with the lack of money. You know what I'm saying? It has
poor everything. Mismanagement.
Yeah. It wasn't a question of...
Bureaucracy.
And look now, right? Look now. Somehow they found the money to buy the fire trucks. It wasn't a question of we need the money. That's like... I also remember, it used to be whenever there was a war, so the rabbis would come on a mission, and what would they bring? They'd bring like long underwear for the soldiers or whatever.
Tefillin.
No, halabai they brought tefillin. That wasn't... They would bring like care packages or whatever. But I remember the last time in Gaza when they had this thing, so of course a bunch of rabbis came, and there was nothing to give the soldiers. The army was really sensitive. They were very sensitive. They didn't need news reports coming out saying, soldiers need this and soldiers need that. So like you brought these like, we have a truck full of like junk food for all the soldiers. And they would like take the truck, unload the truck, and put it in this huge warehouse with stores and stores of junk for all the soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Like, because like we want to feel like we're doing something. But thank God, like they feed their soldiers. It was not like there's no lack of food to feed the soldiers. It wasn't like freezing. It was. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, I want to participate. I want to help.
What was last thing out of Manok crop?
But they have to eat Manok crop because they're in the middle of.
You wouldn't classify it as food.
I wouldn't classify like 80 pounds of bamba as food either. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't what they need. Anyway. Okay, they would give a lot of money. He brings this some silver. So he sent a very, very emotional letter. He told them, would you mind talking to the heir baron Rothschild, the money? Right? Would he mind putting his financial backing behind this thing? Because in order to build up the land of Israel, you need Virim. And apparently somebody talked to the Baron Rothschild, because apparently he gave money somehow. I mean, he might have been into it anyway, right? Kasher huva maasek ezam midrash rabot rabba parashat todo. There's a midrash in parashat todo. Shvei b'yosi b'chanina. Natan ha-melech hoshut la'alo l'aretz Yisrael lifnot b'en ha-migdash. Hoshiv yosi b'chanina shnei ashirim gedolim b'Yisrael shinu atzaot hazeh. So of course, it's like everything. It's like federation. Who's in charge? The rich guys. Right? Because they're in charge of collecting the money. I'm reading a few like Masechet Midot. Masechet Midot is all about the constructing the Beit HaMikdash. So there are some Sha'arim, gates of the Beit HaMikdash, that have these wacky names. Sha'ar Nicanor. You know why they call it Sha'ar Nicanor? Because Nicanor gave the dough to dedicate the Sha'ar.
It's actually cheaper than all other gates.
Sha'ar Nicanor is...
Nechoshet.
Right. I'm saying like you think like, oh, you know, I want to have like the... You know, Spolter Pavilion in the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, come on.
You don't think it'll happen?
Of course it'll happen.
It'll happen for Beit HaMikdash.
Of course. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I think that they won't sell it in perpetuity. It's all going to be LCD screens. So you could sell it, right.
For day.
It's like you know, when you go to the arena now and then switches. Mm. Like, you know, these 15 minutes of Korbanot are brought to you by... Shari Tzedek Hospital.
Myers Hot Dogs.
Yeah, your hospital. You can see it, like the cheering section of the corner. You know, they have the strip around the whole place. Something like that.
Nice. Levine got to do something.
Tacky.
This is your vision of Mashiach.
It could be done
this
nicely.
This is what I was waiting for.
It could be done nicely.
This was what I...
You never saw like an stadium with 360 degrees around? Then. Very tasteful.
Very tasteful.
You never went into a show now when they have the screens, you know, like...
No.
They have them now. You never saw that? Where they have the yard-type plaques on the screens?
Not advertisements.
What's a yard-type plaque?
It's not an advertisement.
It's not an advertisement.
Of course it is. Have you ever seen it? This... Excuse me. This bima...
It's a dedication. It's not an advertisement.
Differences?
Differences is that if you're advertising, you're trying to get something sold for it.
What am I trying to get for? Right. What am I trying to get for giving all that money to pay for that parochet? You're now being naive.
Soft money.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're being naive. It's an advertisement, and it's a very good cause.
All right. I work for a not-for-profit organization in Australia.
Yeah.
And the fire. The fire extinguishers, I think, were named after someone.
It's definitely true. Okay,
this trash can.
This toilet paper has been dedicated.
Exactly. This section of
Rav Gadol Echad, running me Rashi, one rabbi, very impressive. Okay,
one second.
Mentioned Rashi to me. We have to move on. Shekatav al pesukim ki Elokim Yoshia Tzion. You have to look at the order. Elohim Yoshia Tzion v'yibaneh arvei Yehuda. God will save Tzion and the cities of Judah will be built. V'yashvu sham v'yireshuha. They will dwell there and inherit it. V'zera avadab yinchaluha. Right? And its servants and their children will yinchaluha, will inhabit it. V'ohavei shemo yishkinuba. And those who love his name will dwell in it. Lam natzeach l'David l'hazkir. That is the song, the praise of David. V'zeh lashon Rashi. Rashi says, L'David l'hazkir lashon tfilah, with the language of prayer. Midrashi Maiti, it says, Mashal l'melech shekaas al tzono. So there's this king who got mad at his flock. V'satar et adir. So he destroyed the hen. V'otzi et tzon v'etari. He kicked them all out. Achaz ma nechzir et tzon. So he brought, after a while back, he brought the sheep back. U'banat adir v'lo yizkir et areya. He built the pen, but he forgot to tell the shepherd. Amar ro'eh, so the shepherd goes, Harei hatzon muchzar, v'hadir banoy. They brought back the sheep.
What about me?
And they built the pen. V'ani eini nizkar, what about me? Hach lemala min ha'inya ne'emar, ki Elokim Yoshia Tzion, God will save Tzion. V'ovei shemo yishkinu ba. Harei adir benuya, right? The pen is built, the city, Tzion. V'hatzon kanus. And the sheep are there. V'haro'eh, who's the ro'eh in this context? V'moshe lo'olam lo nizkar. That's the prayer. I mean, the prayer is, once everybody's there and the situation is all set, it would be nice if God would come back too.
How is the God the shepherd? Isn't he? I mean, who is building the pen?
The sheep.
Turn the sheep, if not God.
The king.
Who's the king?
No. Right.
Who's the king? Well, God be the shepherd.
Do me a favor.
Moshe be the shepherd.
It's a mashal. Okay. Harei, mefurash b'Rashi kan, it's explicit in Rashi, t'chila yachzuru Yisrael eretz Yisrael v'yivnu alta. First, they will come back and build it. O terem biyat ben David, ad sh'David yivakesh v'Hashem yitbarach, achar sh'Yisrael k'ra chazu, until David would pray from God, that after B'nai Yisrael came back, sh'gam hu ratzel lazor aleihem, that we want, and you know, I heard this morning in the name of Sifat Kohen.
So it's talking about the Mashiach. The Mashiach is the Roeh. David is the Roeh, not the Roeh Baruch Shalom.
One second. Ad sh'David yivakesh v'Hashem yitbarach, ad sh'Yisrael k'ra chazu, sh'gam hu rotzeh lachzor.
Yeah, that's the Mashiach. The Mashiach is the Roeh. The Mashiach will ask, will say like, hello, the people are back in Israel, they're building the blessed land, where is Mashiach?
Fine.
That's me.
Very good. Meaning, but if I was living in Rav Teichel's time, and he said, you know, when Mashiach comes, first the Jews are going to build Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to build the Beis Hamikdash, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return to them. What would you have said?
I understand. I mean, it's basically the antithesis to this theory is that until Mashiach shows up...
Correct. Mashiach's going to come, and...
And poof.
Return all the Jews, and build the Beit Hamikdash. Correct.
But, no, okay.
That's the image of Mashiach that we're all raised on. Mashiach. Right.
But
so if Tachlo is saying that image that you have...
People can move back to Israel without the Mashiach.
No, that's true. It's all given. But we're talking about what is your view of the end of days? Is your view of the end of days...
Shofar, Eliyahu Navi,
correct.
Mashiach, Jews come back.
Correct. Yes. It is?
Yes.
You say you're wrong. It still is?
Yes.
Am I missing something?
Yeah.
It's one thing if I was living in his time.
If
I was living in his time, I would have rejected him. You're living in his time.
What do you mean?
You watch the Jews come back. What other, I mean, there are more Jews to come back.
There are a lot more Jews to come back.
Haven't most of the Jews come back already? Okay, I'm sorry. In 10 years, will most of the Jews come back?
Did you say Elal?
Elal is you come and you leave.
Okay. In 10 years, will most of the Jews have come back? Sure. They're pretty sure that demographically that in a good short period
because
of time.
We're losing Jews.
In Harami, will most of the Jews come back?
Well,
can we really lose Jews
live
in
Israel?
What?
Can we really
lose?
Sure.
We
not consider
one could
Jewish.
Easily argue that most
they
of the Jews.
Consider Jewish?
One could argue that most of the Jews in America really are not Jewish.
Why?
Huh?
Because they don't live in Israel?
No. Because either they're not Jewish, either their parents are not Jewish, or they have totally abandoned a Jewish lifestyle. And it's not clear. Have you ever heard Shachar talk about this?
No.
That if you reject the Torah, if you totally reject the precepts of the
You're
Torah, Jewish. Are you considered part of Klal Yisrael?
That's what like Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was saying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, if you go out there and you go to the Amcha, like...
But in Israel, many Jews reject.
The vast majority of, like, it's not
in
true
Israel,
South Africa or Australia.
Israeli,
South Africa, Jews are Jews. Whether they're from or not. Like, most Jews are pretty much Jews. In America, most Jews are not. Yeah, a lot, and I would say most. Like we don't even know how many Jews are just like they're not there.
But in Israel, the same Jews are out there.
No, it's not true. It's not true. I'm not Makaba. I'm really not. I totally disagree.
You or Mr. Chilonim are like bad news and write them off and not do Shnei Shva.
Change my mind. No, what do you mean? That I still, but they're at least they're aware of their Judaism. They fight for the state. They
and
keep
so
something. They keep most
it's
things.
It's even worse. They don't keep. Things. What do they keep?
I take that back.
They don't keep Shabbos. They don't keep Tarsa Mishpacha.
One second. They don't keep Shabbos. Would you say it's keeping Shabbos if they had a Friday night dinner and heard Kiddush?
No.
They have to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs.
They have to not get.
The Rambam doesn't say Shomer
Torah Mitzvahs.
Rambam doesn't say Torah Mitzvahs. It's somebody who rejects the precepts of a
Rambam. Are they Naaman? Are they considered Naaman? No.
No. Okay. Then for sure the majority of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. According to that, vast majority.
Yeah.
How many Shomer Torah Mitzvahs do you think there are in America?
A lot of people in Lakewood.
What? Excuse me. This is going to surprise you. Take the people in Lakewood, there are more Jews in Rehovah.
No way.
Without a doubt.
By far. From Jews?
By far. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Think the most big Lakewood here are Kodesh. By far. It's not even close.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was amazed by this. My wife is telling me that in the entire... The UK, there's maybe 250,000 Jews.
Total Jews. Right.
There's that many people in Ashdod.
Right.
So,
yeah, but they're very.
I'm blown away by. I mean, we you live in Detroit, right?
Community.
Take all the big school, the biggest day school in Detroit, and how many kids? In Detroit, is it Yerba A and B Israel? How many kids in Yeshiva Beth Yehuda? A couple hundred, 500, whatever it was?
A thousand.
A couple thousand kids in Yeshiva Beth Yehuda?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How many kids are in the North, in, if you added them all, how many kids are there in Yad Binyamin?
I don't know. Maybe.
There are, okay.
There are probably like 3,000 kids in Yad Binyamin.
Right. In Yad Binyamin is a single Yeshuv. Yeah. And you're talking about Detroit, which is a major city, major Jewish city.
Was.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
sir. Okay. Nearly hatam. I said, "One second. Oh, haray." So we learn before. So first we said, first they're going to come back. They're going to build the land, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu will come back. Nearly hatam. I'm so for Asma. He said, "The tachlit ra'atenu hu hapizur v'hagalut." The worst thing, the most terrible thing that happened to us was the exile and this pizur, the dispersion. This is an unbelievable line. He said, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. We all stayed in Eretz Yisrael. He says this. I would never say that.
Wouldn't be so bad.
Really? I would think it would be bad. Nah, not so bad. Boshakatev Rambam. The Rambam says, Gedalia ben Achikam. When Gedalia was killed, Nichbega Chalek Yisrael, the ember of the Israel was extinguished. And we were spread out into the exile. I brought in the name of Chazal. Keep saying it, little by little. Al Kain, and therefore, he says, if the worst thing that happened to us was the dispersion, then the most important thing that had to happen to us must be the
in gathering.
Thank you. That's the word. You have to get out of that terrible situation. So then that'll take us back to the intermediate bad, which is the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But the Jews will still be in their place. Meaning, think about what happened. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, that's
reverse.
Right. So then it got even worse when we were dispersed. So then in order to undo the bad,
first it's ingather.
And then only the Beis HaMikdash can be built.
And you won't even argue that there's even like a further level. Like there was Beis HaMikdash, and then there was like the Beis HaMikdash with like the, you know, Eish, the Luchos, and like the... Like there's like an even further level.
How do you use, what's the higher meaning of
the
like
first base of the
spirituality?
Right. Yeah, like Hashem is there. Like.
So you mean you have to build the Beit HaMikdash and then
right.
You could bring the Jewish people back to a certain level of spirituality. Yeah, it would make sense.
Shia comes, builds Beit HaMikdash, but then we still have to like work towards.
I think people are going to say, right, the Beit HaMikdash is built and they're like, we're the miracle.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
What?
Did you read the link that I sent you?
The link?
Baruch Hashem.
I did not. Sorry. You sent me an article, though, that I did read. What link did you send me?
It was about the...
Oh, the right wing, the movie, the right wingedness of Israel? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it was to give... You know, you asked me about whether or not where there's actually a quoting of the Midrash that it doesn't go chemo, but it goes in and out.
Yes.
That's what I sent you.
I will read it. Lina.
World Hashem, Eric Lamy.
Okay. He says, this is unbelievable. You have to follow inside. This is an incredible chapter. We're on Kuf Bet at the bottom. How will it happen? How will it cause, even without Beit HaMikdash, this kibbutz? We can't bring everybody into Eretz Yisrael. The land has to expand. Meaning it's not big enough. And we're going to get back to this idea of the land expanding to meet the needs of the people very soon. Okay?
How the Arabs get put on a bus.
If we needed it, it would happen. But we don't. So it doesn't.
It's not just that. It's the concept.
That's exactly what he's saying.
No, but there's a concept that the land will be able to produce more per square foot.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying the land expands to meet the needs of the Jewish people. We're not going to get into the politics, I don't think, this week. I don't think we'll finish it. We'll get there. It's like a deer. It's called Eretz. And it must be that some Jews are going to stay in that diaspora until the time comes. This is for you. It says, Nu'um Hashem Elokim Mekabetz Yitchei Yisrael. So saith the Lord who gathereth in the peoples of Israel. Oda Kabetz Alav L'nikbatzav. So I will gathereth them into their gathereth things.
From?
Okay. The Hasaf Torah in... Is it that's Tzom, right? Tanis? Okay. Pirush, meaning... And this is a Pshat Sukkim. Mitchilei karbeitz rabim midichai Yisrael v'lo kulam. First, a bunch of them will be gathered in. V'achar milchemet Gog amar od akabeitz alav nikmatzav. And after the great war... Then I will gather the rest of it. Says, does that make you feel better or worse?
Meaning, this is horrendous.
No, I'm saying, is the war, does that imply to you the war is here or the war is there? Unclear. Where is the war?
The war has to happen. I don't know, it has to, until the war happens. No. It doesn't say where it is.
What he says is the war hasn't happened yet.
Clear.
For sure. Right. That's for sure.
Holocaust, sorry, didn't help you.
No.
Hadn't happened yet.
Gog and Magog means the war of the...
The end all wars.
Yeah.
The war of wars. Where would you... Here's the question.
But it's not... It's
Johnny,
not, it's
where not, would you rather be? Would you rather be here or there? With your peoples?
We're all going to get here, so you might as well be here.
Right. There's Johnny's that. Afraid that the war is going to be focused on here. So he came into the war zone.
That's not what... That's... No, I'm not worried about being... I mean... I'm worried for the family and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's my country, so I'm happy to be here.
Right.
My country needs me. I just don't want it to be. I just don't. It just seems unreasonable.
That you came all this way and then you get all
no,
the war?
That not no, I came. That we all came. That we built this place. That we did what we were supposed to do. We are supposed to be the pioneers, the ones who did the right thing that, in Hashem's eyes, and we're going to go be the ones who get punished. And
they're all going to sit there. We said we're going to get punished. Where did you see that?
I told you we shouldn't have come yet. Where did you see it? Look what happened.
You know what's so funny? I read that this Ramban, totally the opposite way.
You're like, we're already...
Totally opposite.
They're going to be like bosses, and you're going to be like... Like, people are going to be like opening up a bank account, and you'll be like showing them what to do.
Really? Yeah. After the whole place is destroyed because
who
of
says
the
this place is destroyed? Other than that. Prophets do kind of imply that it's going to be really bad. Gabe and Hinnom, the... You ever read, like, the Haftarah on Sukkot?
It doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. That's true. Okay. Nearly.
And we said that. The wars are all end or wars. That doesn't imply a one-way battle where we just put up, you know, big iron curtains and...
Yeah,
hello!
Great. Sounds bad. Yeah. Sounds bad.
One second. But, I mean...
I wish I knew enough to find
it. If this is really, like... The coming of Mashiach, like this is it, right? I mean, it can't be anticlimactic as you would want it to be.
No,
I don't mean like the story has to be like Hollywood.
No,
but just like it.
I don't mean this. I do not want to iron her out any.
No, but he's saying
why can't it be? Those who came here did the right thing and are protected, and everybody else who didn't quite realize.
Wait, one second. You're assuming that everybody else is having is in a bed of roses like the Holocaust. I think it's going to be different, personally, having no intimate knowledge of this whatsoever. They're in real trouble. We at least have the potential to defend ourselves.
I don't know.
Who's going to defend them?
Rivera Zeron said this week in his talk.
His English talk?
Come by play.
His Hebrew talk. His English talk is this week tomorrow.
What? In his Hebrew talk?
His Hebrew talk with Shabbos. He said like, it's like a classic mistake that we all make. It's like the moment, like he said about having come on him in davening, but he said in reference to anything else. Like let's say you hear like a really great cheer, and then you decide like you're gonna have come on in davening for like 5 seconds.
Right.
And then like the first thing you do is you like start looking around and be like, wow, he finished pretty fast. His answer was like, I mean, like 3 seconds. He probably didn't even say the words. You know, and you immediately start like looking over your shoulder and be like, oh, I went to a shiur tonight. Oh, he was watching TV. That guy over there is watching TV all night, every night. You know, like, you start like immediately like looking. I mean, okay, we made Aliyah.
But, like, we didn't, like, I mean, it was not easy, okay? But we didn't, like, crawl over the desert to, like, get here. Or, like, you know.
That's not his point, though. His
no,
point,
he's basically saying we did so much to get here, at least we should get something for that effort, right?
No, we shouldn't suffer more in the war because of it. But why do you assume that that's true?
Yeah.
I don't assume it's true. I wish you told me it wasn't true. And I wish you told me that no one suffered, that we've done the suffering, and that this is the path to redemption, and we'll all come around.
Well, Tesla did say that. All you need to do is have everybody recognize the dominion of God in the world, especially all the Jews, and then you
which
will
never happen unless there's something cataclysmic.
You wouldn't suffer.
So I understand that there are two paths. There's the path where hunky-dory, everybody comes together, realizes, and great.
Convince them. Okay. Start the UCO podcast, which will turn into the UCO network.
It's a really important thing. Okay, and then there's the other.
Can you market the redemption of the world?
Probably.
A lot of people have on street corners wearing white signs. And
that's the problem. They're bad at marketing. You have to hire the professionals.
The end is near.
That's right.
I wonder if there is. www.theendoftheworld.
Wasn't there a guy? He convinced a lot of people.
He convinced a lot of people. They all put on black.
It clearly can be done. Obviously, somebody's not doing it right. And you know, and we know that somebody will do it properly. And who will that person be?
They took the funny medicine.
Yeah, exactly.
I can think about it.
We'll call him the Mashiach.
So it's not. I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't try it.
Maybe you should, because if you succeed, Rambam says it clearly. How do you know who Mashiach is?
He succeeds.
He's the guy who gathers in the exiles.
He doesn't die.
And he doesn't die. Let me know how that goes for you. You understand what I'm saying?
It's not good.
There's only one way to know who Mashiach is. The guy who's got the guts to say.
The guy who stands on the top of the desert and goes off and doesn't die.
No. The guy who has the guts to say, it's time. Come home. This is it.
No,
you're not up for it.
No, that's half of it.
It's always wrong.
It's the guy who stands up and says that, and people listen to him.
And people listen to him, so he's got to know how to say it. Correct, and he's got to be the right guy.
Or girl.
What?
Nothing.
Or girl.
Is that a possibility?
No way.
It's not a possibility.
No.
Why did they not ask?
Not ask?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Okay. Anyway. Nearly, I think, I'm on the third line. To possess Yasa Kibbutz Yisrael, because Chei Yerushalayim Be'eretz Yisrael, that which Jewish people will be gathered in, Yena Asal Yedei Zeh Merkaz Klali Yisrael Bichlal. It will become a center, the central focus of the Jewish people, a center. Until the point that the people in the Gola look at Eretz Yisrael as the center of the Jewish people. Like now in Europe, even in the time of the Holocaust, it was unimaginable. Are you joking? The vast majority of Jews lived outside of Israel. Israel was a backland, a wasteland. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that's chilling to me reading this book is he is describing a situation that exists right now today. It is an undeniable fact in every community that the center of the Jewish people rests here. Forget economically, religiously, spiritually. Don't look at me that way. Look at all the Haredim. They want a decision, where do they turn? They don't turn to Golem Gedolim anymore. Where do they go? Where do they go? All right, the RCA wants to have a thing about Geirus. Who decides? Rabbanu Reishi.
Because
we are Koveya here. They didn't like it. They held their nose, but they knew that Israel was Koveya.
I think that there's I'm not a fan of this, but I think unfortunately there's still a large contingent of Haredi Jewry in Chutz Laretz that is not accepting of that.
But that's not true. They definitely think that
hold by the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael.
Only more than their own Gedolim.
But if you'd ask them where is like the best place to be Jewish and the most spiritual, it's not totally that.
No, I totally disagree. I really disagree. They would say, don't go because you're Chutz Chinuch, which is a bunch of malarkey. But you know what I'm saying? They give all these reasons not to go. Talk to him. And you don't have to give all these reasons not to go. But they for sure acknowledge that the center of Judaism and Torah learning, for all its, you know what I'm saying? For all its great size of Lakewood, it still pales in comparison to Yerushalayim. Probably the Mir. Probably, you know what I'm
saying? So why do people not... No,
why don't they come? Because they live there. It's very simple. They don't come because they live there.
There are definitely people...
Nobody doesn't come because they think, no, the center of Judaism is in Brooklyn. Who thinks that?
Satmar, or like... All these other people, like Kiryasio, like...
You want one sect? You want me to say one sect?
No, there, I mean...
No, I don't think that's true. I don't even think that's true. I think the Satmar, if you'd ask them, they would say... No.
No?
No. No. Maybe when the Rebbe was alive. When that generation died, 100%. When Moshe and Rav Aaron... When those generations died... What?
The
Rebbe wanted to move here. He wanted to move the center.
Their goal is to bring every Jew. So they can't leave until they've got every Jew. Doesn't mean they don't want to be here.
Right. That is definitely... I think he did clearly describe the situation today. Nobody would say you should live in Uman. They go to the Rosh Hashanah. I have no idea why. Okay? Adshi... One second. Yukshurim... One second. This will be Americas. So that all the center, that all the Jews in the exile look to Israel as the center. V'yu agudim uksharim v'chol nimei nishmotem. They'll be united with all their souls. The Merkaz HaKlali Shnitesei Be'et Yisrael. And this is definitely true. The one thing that unites the Jews across, I mean, you could say that it's not true necessarily now about liberal Judaism, they're starting to fall off. But the one thing that really unites all the Jewish people across the spectrum is Israel. Really, and when Israel is in danger, when Israel is in trouble, the Jews come together. Across the religious spectrum too, not just in the Orthodox world. For sure, across the non-religious spectrum. Ad shezeh yeh me'echad, me'ached u'me'ager otem yachad af begola. Until it is a force to unite them even in the exile. Ve'lo yeh pizuram nechshav lepizur klal. And their dispersion is not considered a dispersion. This is unbelievable. Ki kulanu agudim u'me'ugadim yachad ne'merkaz asher b'Eretz Yisrael. We are all connected to Israel.
For Los Angeles, actually, there's yeshivas that were like very much against Israel. And you could hear like they were,
in L.A.?
In Los Angeles. They would never show up to any of the Yom HaTzmaut events and things like that. When there was a war,
right,
they picked a spot. And they didn't say any like tefillah l'mana medina, but everybody got together and they all said tehillim for the soldiers should...
Right.
They found a way to connect.
He says, what's not true now? Set Pizura Yisrael. We are a dispersed ram. We are lost E-W-E, among the nations. There's no Jewish sense of partnership or kinship. We are like the dangling limbs. We're just ununited. We're not connected to each other. Certainly from the klal, the unity of the Jewish people. Al kein, who pizur beemet ubetachlit harad. This is the absolute worst thing. Why? Ki kulanu mamash hefker kitagayam. We are hefker, like the fish in the sea. Kama shorini b'shanim akashot ha'chonot that we see in these last few years. Shekol pachot begarua kfar kofer yadobano. Okay? How does it translate that? Degraded and, you know, every loser,
right?
Right, he tries to attack us. He attacks, he kills us, without any borders, boundaries. Lishum kabalat achrayut al ma'asav she'asayimanu. There's no responsibility. Why? Ki ein leben b'li'al hazeh le'milat eitin v'cheshbon al ma'aseh she'oseim anu. Because nobody's calling him to justice. Ma she'ein kein. This is what he's unbelievable. Im yaseid be'ezer Hashem merkaz kali be'eretz Yisrael. If we establish a central location, a merkaz, in Eretz Yisrael, v'titromem karneinu be'kavod neged kol ha'meharetz, and we raise up our staff, our keren, our horn, or whatever. V'nechshav l'umah yikar v'chashuvah v'klal, and we are a nation, a strong, important nation. Kidiya b'midrash al pasuk. Havu l'Hashem mishpachot ha'amum. Havu l'Hashem kavod va'oz. Give us kavod and oz and strength. Kishetiyu b'yivin otam. Lo taviyu derech bizayon ela kavod va'oz. When you bring them through kavod and strength. Afar prachi yishar b'gola. Even the small person in the gola. Lo yehefker mibli achrayut.
There's no hefker. There's no nobody to answer to. You call her Rotel Asot Eidavar Eza Devar Hamas Banu. You want to do something to a Jew somewhere? Someone is going to hold that person to account. And he will be held responsible. And therefore, he won't do it. That situation exists today. First of all, the state of Israel is a powerful uniting force, but it is the most powerful deterrent against people attacking the Jewish people. Without a doubt. Because Israel makes it clear that if you come after the Jews, they make it very clear, and they made clear for a while also, we'll come after you. And they did. And they do.
It happened. It happened in Uganda. But would you say the same thing would happen today?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The long arm of the Mossad. I don't know how good it is or how good it's not. I don't know really if it's at all good. But everybody knows about the Mossad, don't they?
What they do for the stray Jews?
They say explicitly, when the state of Israel was established, that's right, they say explicitly, they say that we are here to protect Jews. If there's Jews in trouble, this is the mission of the state of Israel to protect them. It's not even like, it's not something that's like known but not said. It's explicitly stated. And I think for sure, I know I felt it, when you're living in Detroit, like you have a sense you belong to something greater. Right, what Jew doesn't feel stronger knowing we have an army, we have an air force, we have a military, we are to be reckoned with. That's kavod va'oz. Nimsad aidei kibbutz ya ba'aretz, through in gathering, netei mitachlit hara af ba'gola. Right, that affects the Jews in the gola. And that's ze'emet u'barori. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. V'gam yigrom kibbutz levavot kol yisrael af ba'gola. It will cause the central focus of the Jewish people, their hearts to be I don't know if it's true. We'll have peace. But the things that we take for granted, meaning the idea of having a nation, having a state, having a body that unites the Jewish people, that protects us, that serves as a force of strength, that you stand up and you say, I am a Jew. And you're not going to push me around. That means we just take it for granted today. And I think that standing here today, we can't appreciate to what degree a Jew in 1940 simply didn't have that. Like we look back and say, how could the Americans not stand up in the Congress and say more? How could they not do more? The answer is, the reason there's an AIPAC today is because there's an Israel today. It changed the attitude of every Jew, no matter where you lived. That you're more of a person. You're more important. You're not sheep to the slaughter. Exactly.
So